All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Let's talk some baseball here. The Altoona Curve getting set in about a month to get their season underway. They have a new play-by-play broadcaster this year. His name's John Moses. He is a stranger to the AA Northeast League. I was going to say he's no stranger to the Eastern League, but he is a stranger to the AA Northeast League because they've never had it before. John Moses joins us now to talk about his broadcasting career coming to Altoona. John, what's going on today, buddy? How you doing?
You know, I'm sitting up here in the press box at People's Natural Gas Field, and my goodness, I wish there was a game today.
Yeah.
70 degrees, sunshine, field's in great condition. I'm just, you know, baseball's meant to be played in sunshine, Corey, and I wish we were doing it today.
See, here's what stinks too, man. You're right, it's 77. We've had a lot of Aprils here, and you've been in Trenton, so we've had a lot of Aprils in Altoona where it was 35, 37 degrees, and all the heaters are going, and everybody's and there's actually 64 people in the ballpark, Cassie Oldwiler and John Prosperi and a handful of the other folks that are there all. But we're missing out on baseball in 77-degree temperature. You're right. It's got to be a real bummer.
It is. It is. I mean, there's going to be a couple games here this week. The Curve Classic gets underway tomorrow, and that'll play throughout the weekend. So you can find some more info on that, altoonacurve.com. But, it'll be nice to see some games this week, actually, here.
I'm always jealous when I talk to professional broadcasters that have the broadcaster voice. John's got the broadcast. I don't. I'm a newspaper idiot that kind of found my way into radio. And you know what? If I really let it go and I start doing my Southern twang, or maybe I sing some Tim McGraw. See, John, I have to work. I really have to work with everything that I say to make sure that I do not let my Southern die. And so it's a challenge. And then we have the professional broadcasters come in with your awesome voices, and I'm just sitting here jealous when I can listen to your voice.
You know, I don't really know where it came from. You know, I was like in the chorus and in the a cappella group in high school and that kind of thing. And then once I started to do games in college, I just sort of realized, like, hey, that kind of like sounds like what guys on national television and national radio are doing. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's like anything else, right? Like, it's a muscle, your voice. You got to train it. You got to work at it. And, you know, over time, hopefully you get to a place that you're happy with it.
But you have a glamorous, high-paying, lucrative career in minor league baseball, so it's all been worth it, right?
It certainly has, Corey.
No, see, that's what I wanted to talk with John about, that we can have some good discussions here. It's hard, man. Being a broadcaster in minor league baseball is hard. Some of my best friends in this world have been broadcasters. Jason Dombach, Rob Egan, Trey Wilson, just outstanding. The Curve have had a laundry list of tremendous, tremendous broadcasters who have gone on to great success. So the pressure's on you, John, just so you know. But no, John, how many years were you in Trenton, and how many years is this for you in minor league baseball altogether?
So I did two seasons of professional baseball before I got to Trenton. So 2012, I was in Abilene, Texas, working for an independent minor league team, the Abilene Prairie Dogs. And then I was in Gary, Indiana, working for the Gary South Shore Railcats. They're in the Independent American Association. And then I was in Trenton 2014, beginning that April, until the pandemic hit, about a year ago this time. So yeah, it was six seasons in Trenton. And I'll tell you what, man, a summer without doing baseball at all was very, very strange to me. You know, I was in a situation in Trenton where I was, you know, doing games for the Thunder. I was doing 140 for them. And then I was also doing freelance work at Princeton University, at Rider University. I was doing like 215, 220 events a year between basketball, volleyball, soccer, et cetera. And then, you know, 2020, I did something like 30 events, which was very strange. And, you know, certainly gave me some more time to work on my short game, which I guess there's a nice silver lining to it.
What's your handicap then? Did you have enough time to get the handicap into a reasonable range?
What do you consider reasonable, Corey?
You know, I've shot 83 twice in my life, and great. I know how much I had to play back in the day to get to freaking 83. So can you break 83? Yeah. If you can break 83, you got my respect.
I don't think I can break 83. I have played a handful of rounds in that range.
Okay.
But it's, you know, I'm usually in the low 90s, high 80s.
Fine. So bogey golf, that's what I like to play, bogey golf. For every bogey you make, you try to make a par and see what you can come up with. All right. So
can you ever be upset doing a bogey? I mean, come on.
Well, no, not if you're on a golf course out walking around enjoying the weather. All right. John Moses joins us, Altoona Curve broadcaster. I like to talk a lot on this show to give people an idea what this business is like. You're mentioning you worked in Abilene, Texas, Gary, Indiana, and then also Trenton. You got to move around a lot. You've got to be willing, and now you're in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Where are you from originally, John?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, so, you know, working in Trenton actually was sort of a nice situation, about a 40-minute drive. So, you know, it's good to be close to family, but you got to go where the games are in this business for sure.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you have to be willing to move. And so one thing, I'm from Arkansas. I've lived in Arizona, Virginia, came up here, never heard of Altoona, Pennsylvania. But in this business, you've got to be willing to move. But it is a tough business. Being a minor league broadcaster, you're doing 140 games. People think that it's a glamorous, awesome job. Being on the air, I'm guessing, is pretty awesome for you. But being on the air is also 15-20% of your job, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we have a lot of other responsibilities. You know, the thought is that when you're at the lower levels of the minor leagues, you're doing a lot more. You know, in Trenton, I was doing corporate partnerships, coordinating marketing agreements, advertise, you know, doing a lot of our TV and radio advertising work. You know, a lot of other things end up on your plate. You know, broadcasters tend to be people that are versatile in the first place. And, you know, I'd say that's a skill that I've sort of developed over the years, but you have to be able to do everything. You know, if it rains in the next couple of days, I'm going to be down on the tarp to make sure that, that the field's protected to get through our Curve Classic games this week. You know, it's just one of those businesses where you have to be willing to wear many hats, and it's the nature of it.
So let's go back. Obviously, the 2020 minor league cancellation was hard on everybody. It's hard on the Curve, hard on the Trenton Thunder. There was always kind of a feeling from me, people who knew the Curve situation well, that Altoona would be okay. Altoona is so centrally located to so many teams, great ballpark. I never, ever had any concern that the Altoona Curve were in any real jeopardy. Okay, you were working for the Trenton Thunder, all right. Was there concern about the Trenton Thunder's future, John?
Not really. You know, my understanding of it was that they were pretty solid, that they were going to continue as the Yankees AA affiliate. But, you know, once the collective bargaining between minor league baseball and major league baseball, that professional baseball agreement expired in September, you know, franchises were free to set their four affiliates without, you know, the previous player development contracts being held. And, you know, the Yankees found a better opportunity, unfortunately, for the people in Trenton. I mean, that's a long-term partnership, 2003 through 2020. Those 18 seasons of Yankees minor leaguers playing in Trenton. You know, it's a community that has really supported the franchise and has turned a lot of Yankees fans out in Central Jersey and in Eastern Pennsylvania over the years because they watched players like Brett Gardner, Robinson Cano, you know, these guys, they hang on and they play in the big leagues for a long time. And kids remember, I remember watching Robinson Cano. I remember watching Brett Gardner. And, you know, those sort of lifelong connections you make with baseball players are significant when you're 7, 8, 9 years old and then you can follow their career for the rest of their lives. So it was pretty shocking when that news came around. But it was definitely something we didn't really see coming.
And the news was that the Yankees were leaving Trenton for Somerset, New Jersey. So then everybody's waiting to see who's going to be on the 120 list of teams that were going to be, quote-unquote, invited to take part in minor league baseball. And shockingly, I mean, folks, some of you have been to Trenton. The Curve won the Eastern League Championship in 2010 in Trenton. terrific ballpark. I've always loved going to Trenton, and Altoona has a significant history with Trenton. Andy Pettit came here, pitched in the playoff game that year in 2010. Chase Darnot hit the home run off of Pettit. I was floored when Trenton was not going to be invited to be a minor league affiliate, John. What was the feeling like from people within the Trenton? Did they have a sense that it was coming, or was it a complete surprise to them?
Not really. You know, my understanding is that there was not communication from New York about the fact that the change was going to happen. I found out the same way a lot of people did when Baseball America shared the news. You know, I got a phone call from Josh Norris, who I'm sure you've met over the years. He's now a writer for Baseball America. And he was like, just letting you know, in 10 minutes, the story is going to drop. And I was like, oh, goodness gracious.
No, that's not what you said. I'm sure you said something else.
It's possible. I will leave open the possibility that I said something else. But, it was just a really shocking moment. And I think, as much as anything, the timing of how that decision and when it was made, you know, sort of affected Trenton's ability to stay in the 120.
Had there
been more advance notice, or if the Yankees had said, like, hey, look, we're thinking about maybe going somewhere else, you know, at some point in the late summer, then at least they probably could have set up some other appointments with other franchises and still, you know, ended up, whether it was in the high A league that sort of worked into the Northeast corridor, or, you know, another team in the Double A Northeast League. You know, there was probably a team out there that would have loved to come to Trenton, but I just think the timing of it wasn't right, as a lot of teams had made their plans by the time that news had come around.
John Moses joined us, a former longtime broadcaster for Trenton. Now he is with the Altoona Curve, and we'll get to your thoughts on what led you to Altoona in a minute. But so Trenton is in this MLB draft league with the State College Spikes and a few other teams. So they'll have baseball this year. Would it be your expectation that Trenton would be back maybe with minor league affiliated ball next year, or is this something that we just don't know yet?
It's hard to say. You know, these player development licenses, I'm not super well read into those, so I don't really know what ability, you know, parent clubs have to change their affiliates, whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now or 3 years from now. But, you know, I know the folks there are hopeful that affiliated minor league ball can come back sometime soon.
Yeah, hope so, because Trenton is a terrific minor league market. Garrett Mansfield handled the play-by-play duties for the Curve last year. A couple years ago. Nobody did last year, but Garrett was still part of the organization. He has moved on. Garrett calls a lot of high school sporting events here on the Leitner Communications, does a tremendous job, still lives locally with his lovely wife. So that created an opening for the Curve's play-by-play situation, John, and you having, I mean, Trenton's only a few hours away. You've been here many times. Was this a great ideal landing spot for you at this stage in your life and your career?
Of course. You know, I think, you know, the one thing that, you know, you can speak to also is that us as broadcasters, the only way you get better is by doing more games. So, you know, the setup in Trenton at best was probably going to be something like 34 home games or 68 road games or maybe something of that nature. And the chance to do 120 for an affiliated minor league team was pretty attractive to me. And then once I remembered what Altoona looked like and how great of a broadcast experience it is, and, you know, knowing Derek Martin, the general manager here, a little bit, because Derek's been nice enough to arrange some golf outings for me when I came here as a visitor before, you know, it just felt like a pretty natural fit. And, you know, I was pretty happy to say yes to this opportunity when it was offered.
All right, so the Curve season will start a little bit less than a month on May 4th. I talked with manager Miguel Perez a little bit earlier today. He said the team's going to be really good, very competitive, especially the first half. And he said we'll see how things go the second half. But you're, I'm sure, knee-deep into preparing for a season, trying to learn all of the Pirates' prospects, trying to figure out who's going to be on a team, which is more difficult, I'm sure, this spring training than any other spring training we've ever dealt with. But from what you can gather, with maybe some list, preliminary lists or things that you've come across or found yourself, what kind of team do you think we'll see in Altoona, at least early on?
I think it's a team that's going to be able to hit, particularly in the outfield. You know, I really think there's a decent chance that Travis Swaggerty is here. He's a top 10 prospect in the organization, according to MLB.com. A couple of guys that came in the Jameson Taillon deal could probably make their way here at some point. My guess is Kanan Smith and Juba will probably I think there's a decent chance that Kanan Smith opens with us. But look, there are some arms on the way. Talking to the couple of the other reporters that I know and a couple of scouts, there are a couple of arms that they're very excited about. Ronzi Contreras, of course, a former Yankee who has a really nice changeup. I don't know if somebody like Quinn Priester is going to be able to make it here this year just because he's 20 years old, but I'm excited about it. And hopefully I can pick Miguel's brain a little bit and maybe catch a few more names that are on the way. But it looks like some of those trades that the Pirates have consummated in the last 2 years could come through Altoona in a big way in the next year.
Miguel Perez played here, was a kind of a coach here for several years, has nothing but tremendous things to say about Altoona. And a lot of you folks who may be listening, some of the stalwart longtime Altoona Curve fans, Miguel Perez told me earlier today he grew up in Altoona. He had been with the Reds organization, got to the big leagues briefly, came here, he had a newborn, really felt like he grew up during his time in Altoona, got a lot of help from a lot of people in Altoona, and again, many of the fans here from the Curve Booster Club and the longtime supporters have always been extremely, extremely helpful to all players, and especially some of the Latin American guys. There has been tremendous support for a lot of Latin American players here from Curve fans over the years. So again, Miguel Perez relayed that to me, that he is extremely excited about coming back to Altoona, which he considers a very dear place in his baseball development and in his life. So I'm looking forward to getting to know Miguel a little bit from that perspective. I got to know him some as a player, talking to him some over the years, but now as a manager, it's always fun to pick these guys' brains, and he's very highly thought of as a manager in the Pirates system. And John Mozo, I want to get the last thing from you. The Yankees, all right, the Yankees wanted to win in Trenton. Curve had significant history with the Trenton Thunder, meeting in the playoffs, and what was the longtime manager? Was it Tony Franklin? Do I have that name right, John?
Yeah, Tony Franklin.
Fantastic guy. One of my favorite people I've dealt with. Just
tremendous golfer, by the way.
Oh, okay, very good. And the Pirates' previous regime, with Kyle Stark, Neil Huntington, Larry Broadway, they wanted to win in Altoona. They wanted to win in the minor leagues, as did Brian Graham before. So what I'm really looking forward to seeing this year and in the coming years, what will the emphasis be like? Because you came from an organization where you got to win a lot. The Yankees wanted you to win. That's a big part of what they did. The Pirates want to win. The Curve have been to the playoffs 9 times, won a couple of Eastern League championships. I really wonder what that's going to be like going forward, and we don't know with Ben Cherington, a new GM, especially missing a minor league season. Now there's no rookie ball and A ball or short season. Everything that you and I kind of know about minor league baseball, I fear we're going to have to learn the whole sport all over again. Are you looking forward to that kind of dynamic over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's exciting to sort of consider, you know, how different things could be, right? Like a new challenge. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to expect players to win in the big leagues if it's not drilled into their brains when they're minor leaguers. Like, hey, we need to win today's game.
Hey, John, I hate to break it to you. It's hard for the Pirates to win in the big leagues no matter what. But we can address that. We can address that a little bit. This ain't the Yankees, brother. They ain't going to any World Series here anytime soon. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, you know, the point is, you know, you get used to winning games in the minor leagues, and then, you know, when a group of guys get there that played together quite a bit in the minors, you know, I'm thinking of the crew from a Pirates example, like McCutcheon and Polanco, when, you know, Pirates made the playoffs back-to-back years in 14 and 15. You know, when you have a group of guys together that are used to winning, and then they lose 3 or 4 in a row in the big leagues, they look around and they say, this isn't how we do this here, right? And then players sort of lead the charge and say, okay, that's not how we do it here. We win games. That's what we do. So, you know, I think it starts, you know, on the lower levels. You know, if you can get guys into the habits of saying and getting them used to winning, you know, it builds their confidence and in turn will do so when they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, hope so. it's going to be fascinating what because you guys knew what to expect from the Yankees with their front office. We knew what to expect under the old regime. It's going to be fascinating these next couple of years just to see. Because, again, you made a comment. What made me think about all this is I think it was you mentioned Quinn Priester. Well, he may not be here at 20 years old. The previous regime would have brought him here at 20, 21 years old. That's what they did. And a lot of other teams don't. So I'm really, really curious to see what that age group like. The Curve generally had one of the younger teams in the Eastern League. Because the Pirates pushed everybody up, they just did. So that's one dynamic that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what that's going to be like in the coming years.
Yeah, me too. And you know, it'll be exciting to see which players improve dramatically as a result of having a year off to work on their bodies and work on their whether pitch mechanics or all that jazz. I think that's got to be pretty exciting for some of the player development guys down in Bradenton right now saying, oh, wow, this guy's here and he looks a lot better because he had a whole year to work on his body. So I'm sure it's going to make for some hard decisions for those guys when it's time to send players out to affiliates in a couple weeks.
Great discussion, John Moses. We'll have John on the program a whole bunch. WRTA is the flagship station of the Altoona Curve, so we'll be talking with John a good bit here over the next 4 or 5 months. Welcome to Altoona. I hope you enjoy your time here. There's a lot of stuff to do here. Some people love I love Altoona. Some people wonder, hey, what can I go do for some entertainment? But I hope you enjoy your time here. This is a real nice place to live.
I look forward to it, Corey. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
I appreciate it. John Moses, the Curve's new broadcaster.